you call it a gen set, do you? In addition, generator, are there electrical costs? And I'm wondering, have those costs, other additional costs in addition to the pump, been calculated into the estimations to the private landowner in your tabulations here?
Yeah, the cost of a pump and gen set is included in the cost estimates.
And electrical costs, would those be part of that as well?
Excuse me, as Mr. Hall alluded to earlier, you know, the cost estimates as compiled for the public, pardon me, for the private homeowners, are averages. And we haven't made site-specific estimates of particular dwellings. So there may be specific instances where electrical panel costs are higher than other dwellings, right? But on average, the estimates to date, for purposes of comparing these options and deciding which is favorable, we've developed average costs.
Okay.
And if I might, you know, the gen set that we're talking about is not one that's large enough to drive the electrical demands of the entire dwelling. It would be a relatively small unit for purposes of a pump only. That's what we've covered off so far.
Thank you. Anything else, Councilor? No. Thank you. Councilor Zelka, please. Any questions?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you so much for the comments from the floor. I very much appreciate the struggle that that we all have looking for the absolute benefits that this will bring forward. I know we have to meet the letter of the law, and I understand that the provincial regs, the federal regs, and the CRD regulations are basically all pointing us in this direction. But I do want to ask, as I continue to search for benefits that will flow to Oak Bay, and I may have to ask our CRD representative to the board to possibly help me understand this a little bit. I'm not sure whether this would be a staff question or a CRD rep question. With respect to the CRD contribution by household to pay for the new sewage system that was approved at the CRD level in September, it shows in all of the paperwork I've been able to find so far that Oak Bay would be allocated $344 as the annual estimated cost per household, whereas Esquimalt is only charged about, and V Royal are each charged approximately $250 per household per year, and Colwood is even less than that. And the most I've been able to find out in terms of how that number was calculated is called something referred to as a CRD allocation methodology that has to do with paying for the CRD capital operating and maintenance funding. Now, I've always assumed that the CRD allocation methodology had to do with the total flows of sewage that pass through Oak Bay, which is much higher than any other district and city. Now, that's an assumption on my part. Is it possible that staff or possibly you, Chair, could maybe comment on that?
Well, I'm going to ask Mr. Hull, because Mr. Hull was at the CRD when this cost allocation, there is a cost allocation bylaw in place, and I think each community was asked to what was the design criteria that they wanted to assess. So you can take it from there.
Yeah, there's the existing cost allocation system for the sewers and the outfalls. There's no treatment associated with that. The cost allocation that is for the treatment plant, it's a different formula, and that's the information I promised to get to you that shows it's not on volume, it's not solely on volume, because you're treating sewage, and you're not treating clean water. You're treating water that has a high biological oxygen demand that requires the aeration systems and the treatment systems to break that down. That's where the cost of the treatment plant capital and operating costs are, not in the volume of water. So I will get that information to you, and I can sit down with you and go through it, and hopefully it'll answer that question. But You know, I obviously don't have that information off the top of my head or in the information here, but it's a different formula than was used with when we were only dealing with pipes, where it was volume-based.
If I may follow up, Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Final follow-up question is, could you help me understand then, with Oak Bay having the highest sewage flow in the area, and this number being approximately $100 more than Esquimalt, and in fact almost $150 more than Saanich's annual sewage allocation cost for this new sewage system. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that it could go down once we complete this separation and everyone has hooked up and we've completely separated and reduced our flows to be in line with what we find in throughout the rest of the district?
The pipes in Oak Bay are typically older than, for example, Colwood or Langford, where it's a new system. You're basically dealing, the volume side of it is basically sewage. There's very little of the inflow and infiltration that you get in the older systems. So certainly that's a factor. If Oak Bay does tighten up, not only the uplands, but other parts of Oak Bay and reduces the flow, there will be a difference in the calculation. Are you expecting it to go down to Esquimalt's level or yes, Colwood's level? I really doubt that that's going to happen or get anywhere close. Because also remember that the total cost doesn't change. It's how it's allocated between the municipalities. So if Oak Bay goes down, someone else is picking up the slack, essentially. Because the loading doesn't change because you've reduced the volume. The loading depends on the number of people that are in the community. And that doesn't change with the volume.
And we'll have those figures, Mr. Yep. I'll bring that back in due course.
I'll get those. Okay. Yep.
Any other questions? If not, I think, yes, go ahead, please. Councillor Murdoch.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I guess the one thing I've heard here that really resonates is the frustration with the having to do things that are not necessarily, if we're trying to protect the environment, this is not necessarily the way to spend $20 million, much like protecting our environment is probably $1 billion, and sewage treatment may not be the optimal way of doing that. We are at this level, unfortunately, somewhat required to follow the rules, even if the rules say that it's illegal to scoop up a bucket of ocean water and pour it back into the ocean because it doesn't meet the official criteria. The main question I have was really of the staff, and maybe it's not that relevant immediately, but I am curious, maybe to bring back in future, of what contingencies are built into the $3 million portion of that for reclamation, but it doesn't relate to this specifically, so I'll leave that for now. I think things that we do have to come back to once, if we're going to move the broader project forward at this point, that I would like to get some clarification on, because I think they're really valid. What is the process? Should a group of homes request to use an easement, what that process would look like and how we would go about funding that? The other one is the consideration of houses on the low side of the slope. What is going to be an acceptable design guideline for that? Can we accept that they'll have a pump, but they can also have a rain garden mitigation system, so if it fails, there's a piece there? Or on the ocean side, at what point do we say that the rainwater flowing towards the ocean is okay versus not? Because I think we have to clarify some of those rules, because that would clarify, I think, costs for an awful lot of people as we go down that path. It's sort of independent of the choice we make here in many senses, but they're really important aspects to this design. I do want to just clarify, because when I saw the presentation for the first time, the term assumptions I thought was an unfortunate choice of terms. I mean, it was the assumptions put into the document, but they weren't just assumptions and left there. They were, like the easements question was, the assumption said we wouldn't consider easements, but in fact, council directed the consultants to consider easements. Mm-hmm. They went back and looked at them all, and they realized that there was certainly the vast majority of easements wouldn't be practical, so they took that out of the cost allocations accordingly. So the assumptions were there only in the broadest sense, but not just sort of blindly ignoring the requests of earlier. So I just want to make sure that's clear that that is not that the opinions expressed haven't been ignored, that they in fact have been considered in many cases, but in some cases are implementation-based, and in many cases, so that's the next phase of this, and in other cases, we're looked at and we're deemed to be not broadly applicable. I guess that's really about it from my perspective. I think the questions raised here were excellent, and I think we really do have. I was sort of hoping this would be almost over by now, but it's not. I think there's a lot of work to still be done from the municipality standpoint in terms of how we're going to address some of these pieces and things like costs and setting up the side connections at the time of implementation and so forth are all there. Thank you.
Okay. And I think in terms of that easement point you make, I think it's a good one, but I think we have to reflect that in June of this year, council did consider it. And the direction, essentially, as I understand it, I don't have the actual motion in front of me, but I have a note of it that said we will not go down that path. Now, if we, once we get the broader issue put to bed, so to speak, then it's something that we could come back to in terms of the implementation. But I think we would need to, as a council, to get positive direction in that regard. But we have heard from Mr. Hull tonight that that's certainly something that can be considered an implementation, and perhaps it can be considered much like they would anything else where there's a cost saving. That's something that we need as a council to go back to look at, given what we had done in June. So, all right. So I think we're now ready to... we can go around... the table for comments to begin with, or we can start by anyone who has a desire to put this motion, a recommendation on the floor, which might make our focus of debate a little crisper. So you have that in front of you, of the recommendation, and it's a two-part recommendation. One is to approve the recommendation of the pre-design report, and then there's four sub-paragraphs, and then also to approve the submission, essentially, of that recommendation to the CRD. All right. Go ahead, please.
So I will move the recommendations as per the staff report.
Thank you very much. Moved and seconded. Discussion. Okay. We could maybe start the other direction this time, shall we?
I'll just reiterate that I think the process was so well done that makes the decision that much easier. I can't say that I don't have my own doubts about the necessity of the project, but if this extends if this provides the opportunity for us in the future to treat our stormwater because it's separated, because I hope that eventually technology will be available to us, or if it encourages us to address storms and recognize the impact of those storms as climate change is having a greater impact on all communities across Canada and around the world. Maybe this is the first time that Oak Bay's had to have a reckoning with what's changing in our climate and how these storms are having a greater impact on all of us. It might extend the life of the sewage pipes. It might make it easier on us in the future. We don't know, but complying with the regulations is the only choice we have. We have made every attempt to communicate with other levels of government. I don't think that we have examined. I don't think that we have left any path on. We've examined every option, we've tried, and we've made every attempt to make sure that this is truly the only way forward. And so I just hope that people have faith in the fact that, we're not blindly complying with a regulation just for no reason, to throw money at a problem that doesn't exist. We're doing it because it might help mitigate something, and it might that things might get worse as climate change starts to impact us more and more, and we have a greater storm. So I'd like to think that this isn't money thrown at nothing, that we are taking a step towards what might be treating stormwater in the future, and an improvement to the environment and the foreshore. So I will be supporting recommendation, and pleased to that we're moving forward with this project.
Thank you very much. Councillor Zelka, please.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate staff, all the staff work that's been done to date on this as we move forward in a slow and measured way with all members of Oak Bay, the Uplands, and the rest of the district. And I appreciate all the plans that have been put forward in the past. And while I support this recommendation in general, I wish to propose an amendment, because one of the things I'm concerned about is that this may commit us to something that we're not ready for. So whereas the previous plan that was submitted and approved by Oak Bay Council and sent to CRD relating to the Amendment 7 made reference to a 63-year plan that was going to commit Oak Bay. And whereas other parts of British Columbia, notably in the Vancouver area, make reference to 100-year plans to complete their sewage separation, I wish to propose that we add these words to Element 2 of the recommendation.
Sorry, where will you insert these?
At the end of the motion.
Oh, after paragraph 2.
As part of paragraph 2.
As part of paragraph 2.
And the words I'd like to add are, and that this submission not commit us to an end date. And that this submission, because reference to element 2 talks about sending a submission into the CRD, and that submission becomes law as soon as it's approved by the CRD. So that's why I wanted to propose an amendment, that we add the words, and that this submission not commit us to an end date. And I ask for someone to help to second this.
I'll second it for the sake of a discussion.
And if I may discuss now?
Okay, can I just ask Jack a question? I assume that you've looked at what other communities have done in this area?
Yeah, the ministry will not accept an open-ended commitment. They want to know that you're doing it and that there is an end date. The other municipalities have had a much bigger problem than the 400 homes in Uplands, and that's why they've had the longer time frame. Vancouver, for example, started in 1985, and they're going to be finished, I think it's about 80 years overall, but it's a much bigger problem. But certainly the ministry, any feedback we've had from the ministry is you have to commit to a time frame to do the work, and not an open-ended, we'll get it done sometime.
Okay, and I can speak to that too, but I'm going to give you the floor.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Speak to your amendment.
Well, I appreciate at least making reference, and if we ended up amending the amendment with an actual date, I would be fine with that. But I did want to be clear with respect to our direction to staff on this submission, that we don't tie our hands into the future. I'd like us to maintain maximum flexibility so that we're open to, ideally, in the best case, have grants pay for all of this over the long term with respect to this this Clean Water Fund or some other grants or funding opportunities that may come up in the future that we don't know anything about. So that's why I wanted to provide some direction, either through this amendment or possibly something else, that would ensure that we're not committing to a 3-year plan or a 30-year plan, but something that gives us maximum flexibility. And I noticed that other plans and other communities have gone to 80 years, 63 years. So anything longer than 30 years would make me happier.
Thank you.
Any other one wish? Any other councillors wish to speak to the motion? Yes, go ahead, please. Councillor Murdoch.
I'll just say briefly. Can you hear me now? Is that, okay. I haven't. I'm an alternate on the CRD, so I've only been part of a few of these discussions at the Quarterly Liquid Waste. I can tell you that the timber of that conversation, I think, is even 30 years. A number of the members would have a great deal of issue with. And that number is based not just on, you know, what we can do, and I think it's a very reasonable number, frankly, for, you know, in chunks of time that we're talking about. It's, the engineering seems to support that. It's also been, after a large number of meetings with various ministers of the environment and so forth, and asking them in conversation about what would be acceptable to them and trying to find a road that would go forward. I don't see any point in putting forward a motion that has no chance of passing at the CRD or of the Ministry of Environment. And I feel comfortable with the 30-year time frame, so I can't support that amendment. I certainly appreciate where it's coming from. I think we always want to have the maximum flexibility attached here. I think our flexibility here is that we haven't tied our hands in any way, shape, or form as to hookups. So we are not, at this point, committing ourselves that every house will be hooked up in 30 years. What we're saying is that we are providing our infrastructure at that point and meeting all of the Minister of Environment requirements by that time. And that flexibility gives me some comfort that we have, can still be rational in terms of how we're hooking up houses on the high side or low side of roads and so forth as we go forward.
Okay, let me just tell you, remind you that I've met along with other councillors over the last 3-4 years at the time of UBCM when they have ministerial meetings. And met with Minister of the Environment, the Honourable Mary Polak, and our conversations with her have really been to extend it up to 30 years. And her response was, and it wasn't a commitment, that we needed to get going. And I think the timeline wasn't as critical for her at 30 years. But the sense I got is, don't push it beyond that. You need to get this and underway. When you look at Vancouver, how many tens of thousands of homes I suspect they have, compared to 400, I really think this, it would be unrealistic for us to leave it open-ended. I think we have to get a date. And we may very well find, as is pointed out by Councillor Murdoch, that there'll be pushback at even at 30. And that pushback might come from the CRD to begin with, although, again, our meetings with them have been very cordial, and with staff, and they will have to be the ones that recommend it to the CRD and eventually to the minister. So I think to leave it open-ended is just... asking for it to be sent back to us. And I think at 30 years, it seems fair at this point. We can expect, perhaps, that there may be some reluctance to even let it go that far. But I think it's a fair, balanced, and reasonable approach. So, okay. Anyone else want to speak to that? Do you want to speak again,
Mr.
Zilka? Yes, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate you mentioning that meeting with the minister. I was at that meeting as well, and I agree she did not provide an end date. She just wanted us to simply get started, and that's why we wanted to maintain the flexibility. And while I understand there's no desire to push back against the province, I thought this would at least give us some flexibility without pushing back and without looking like we're not participating. We are participating. We are following the letter of the law. So if there was a way that we could provide, again, flexibility for our ratepayers, this is what I'm hoping for. Thank you.
Any other speakers? If not, I'm going to call the question. This question is to amend it in accordance, essentially, to add the words, and that this submission not commit to commit us to an end date. Okay. All in favor? Okay. Opposed? Other than Councillor Zilka, the rest of Council opposed that motion. So that's defeated. We're now on the main motion. Any more speakers on the main motion?
I think you're going down the line, remember?
Oh, yes, that's right. We had started coming this way. We got to Councillor Zilka, excuse me. And now we're at Councillor Ney. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to support the motion on the floor. I've found this a very, in many ways, it's just been a very satisfying process in terms of how staff has supported us, but I found this project very frustrating because, as others have said at the table here, I can't figure out why we're doing it except that we're being regulated to do this. There are no impacts. I've looked carefully at the coliform counts at Humber and Rutland that have been provided to us by the CRD, and they're chronically under the thresholds that anybody would be concerned about in terms of adverse environmental impact. It's not going to reduce our costs going to the new sewer treatment. So I'm going, this is a lot of money for a community like ours where we have other priorities in terms of infrastructure expenditures that are causing us, causing more impact on the environment. And this would not be where I would put my money. It feels like kind of renovating a bathroom when the roof is leaking for me. But as others said, and we all know, we're being, we're going to have to comply with the regulation, and we've done what we can, pushing back at the ministry. So with that, I think I want to thank people who have come out tonight and other people who have given feedback, because I think this is, it's kind of a typical Canadian compromise solution. It's not really the best for different stakeholders, but when you take all the different stakeholders into account, it's probably a good compromise for what we have to do. I'm satisfied that we're going to do this in chunks. That's reassuring to me, so we're not going to be spending all the money at one time. I hope the comments that have been made from the floor about that we ensure that our numbers are accurate, that we're being transparent, and that we do take a lot of care at the implementation so that we don't impose cookie-cutter regulations on every homeowner. If there's possibilities for addressing sort of nuance and idiosyncrasies with homeowner circumstances, that we're able to tailor our implementation to mitigate costs and unnecessary interventions for homeowners. So I'm going to support the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Murdoch, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I already had, I kind of cheated and made my comments as part of my other piece, so I'm not going to take much time. I share Councillor Ney's comments. I think the process has been good, and I think the drivers behind it frustrating, because the what we're getting out of it is not proportional to the cost. I do want to just make a comment on not just in the process in general, but I saw this. I always worry looking at large projects like this that they can get sidetracked so easily by good intentions. And I think this has been, from my perspective, very comforting in that this has had a very light touch from council. This has been largely led by engineering, who have come to us with options and recommendations, and we've provided some considerations on it. But the whole time, I hope that's been felt that we're just looking for the information. So, and the thickness of this report and the details with all the costs has really been, to come back with us with the most honest cost possible. And I just have to give credit to both the consultants, but also to staff for allowing that to go forward, and to council for not interfering too much, because it doesn't happen too often. I think in large projects, there's an inherent desire for politicians to stick their fingers into things that maybe we shouldn't. So. I feel very comfortable with the recommendation coming back. I would have to have a very clear reason not to support the option, and I don't. I think that the reasons outlaid for option four, while it's not the cheapest, it gives us the most immediate return in terms of reducing the outflows, overflows, piece of that. And I think the shallower depth is a critical criteria in terms of keeping our costs or unknown costs in check. So. For those reasons, I'll support the recommendation as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Braithwaite, please.
Thank you. Having sat on council the first time this came, which was a totally different experience, I will reiterate my fellow councillors' comments and thank everyone involved for how it's how this process has gone. And dare I say, I'm going to go with the flow and agree with my councillors, my fellow councillors, and that's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Just a few comments from me. We really have the two critical decisions to make throughout this process. We knew fairly early. Do we go with a deep new pipe or a shallow new pipe? The second question is, do we have the new pipe have black water, sanitary sewage, or should the new pipe carry rainwater? And I think the information that we have been given over that 18 months, I think, has been very useful. The feedback from our residents on the surveys and the open houses have been useful for us in coming to a decision on those two key issues. When you look at the report in terms of the deep sewers, the report says there's a number of real problems with it. It represents the highest capital cost. And remember, we talked about the known unknowns. We know there's rock. We just can't tell you exactly how much it's going to cost. That is a risk. Secondly, the cost it being open-ended exacerbates the risk overall. And they also represent, and this goes right back to Mr. Carter, who may not be here anymore, the deeper we go, the higher the risk there is to the mature trees. And then also, one of the things that we've learned through the reports, and I think was touched on tonight, it will represent potentially a significant higher cost for the private homeowners and disruption to their properties. So I think the shallow way is the way to go. Now the question is, do we put a new sewer, sanitary sewer, or a new rainwater? And that analysis certainly is that by choosing a rainwater pipe, we more quickly reduce the combined sewer overflows. That, I think, is one of the goals that we've been directed and mandated to achieve. And with a new pipe for rainwater, that's the fastest and simplest way. Because when you think about it, if we were to choose a sanitary sewer and we have 30 years, we'll see no change in 30 years because we will not be able to put it online until everyone is on. So for those reasons, I think this is the best way to go, the recommended option. But before leaving it, I want to thank, and I think my fellow councillors here have, my colleagues on council have already mentioned, they're grateful that how grateful they are to the staff, because the information has been ongoing and being updated and responsive. So I think that's been a real bonus right across the board. I want to thank staff for that. But I really also want to thank the residents of Uplands. They came out with ideas. They presented them to us, and we followed up on them. And I think it was a very healthy back and forth in terms of at the open houses and at the other public meetings that we've had. And I think that helped get us to what I believe is the right decision. There are still some loose ends that tie up in the implementation. We know that. But those will be dealt with in the fullness of time, and given our staff's diligence to this point, I have every reason to believe that the overall project will be satisfactory to our community. So thank you. I'm going to call the question. All in favor? Opposed? None opposed. Thank you very much. And I really appreciate you attending here tonight and participating in this. This will go to council, as I said at the outset, on the 11th of October, when we sit as a legislative body That will start the process of application to the CRD and to the ministry, as well as the changes that may be required in our bylaws. So thank you, and have a good evening. Move to adjourn. Moved and seconded. Discussion. All in favor? Opposed? We stand adjourned. Thank you very much.